You're listening to CJAM 99.1 FM and Revolution Rock. Adam and Dave are here with you, and we want to give a big thanks and a shout out to all the stations that syndicate this show throughout the country. There's been some new additions, I believe, recently, Dave.
There has?
Well, I think in the last few weeks.
Actually, no.
Well, maybe it's wishful thinking on my part.
But yes, no. Thank you to all the stations that do air us. We appreciate it. Tonight on the show, or today, whenever you're listening, we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of Nirvana's third album,
In Utero.
Yes.
As I'm tentatively titling this episode, Smells Like In Utero.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That one's for you, Dave.
Thank you for that. Now, what we're doing, as we do when we look at albums and play them in full, we kind of play them made up of different versions of the songs that exist. And fortunately for us, there are so many alternate versions, live recordings, bootlegs, and everything of Nirvana. It's
like a wealth of embarrassment. An embarrassment of wealth, I should say, for all of this. And including that last track, which was taken from a 1991 Peel session that was found on With the Lights Out, in addition to the Peel Sessions recordings that were released sometime in the early 90s. That was a version of Dumb, which is a slower, more methodical version of that song.
Yeah, and we pulled that from... Did we say the With the Lights Out?
Yeah, With the Lights Out. And that song in particular is pretty interesting, because I feel like... We talked about this during the break, that a lot of these songs, they did have literary and they did have sort of a cultural influences, but a lot of these were about the type of anxieties Cobain and the band were experiencing, being suddenly foisted into this new level of fame and success. And I do feel Dumb is one of those songs that really touches upon that in a very ironic and self lacerating way.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of songs are very critical of the way the media portrays things, and this is one of several that come up in different songs. And this one, it's interesting because it is a very poppy song, although that version we heard is not like the version on In Utero, which has an orchestra or violin in the background.
A cello, actually.
A cello. I said all the instruments except for what it was.
I like this quote. I do want to say that there was a 1993 interview with Cobain where he said the lyrics in the song are just about people who are easily amused. He goes on to say people who are totally happy watching 10 hours of television and really enjoy it. He says, I've met a lot of dumb people. They have a really bad job. I'm paraphrasing here. They may be totally lonely, but for some reason, they're happy. And the song is just about that. And it's interesting because it's not necessarily making fun of people for that. Right. Just that kind of observation where, you know, being hyper aware and critical intelligent doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be satisfied in life. And I thought that was very interesting. And that pairs really well with the song that came on the album before that. And we actually heard the proper 1993 studio album version of this. Frances Farmer Will Have Her Revenge on Seattle. And it has a really interesting origin.
Yeah, so it's actually about an American actress that was from Seattle, well, around the same area as Cobain and Nirvana. And he read a biography of Frances Farmer called Shadowland. And basically, what happened with Frances Farmer is she was just against commercialism, and she was she had some mental health issues and was put into a mental institution, I don't believe of her own accord.
No, definitely against her will, and it was administered psychiatric treatment, including medical treatment, and given chemical treatments against her will. And I think this struck a chord with Cobain, who not only saw this with the type of oppression he felt dealing with his own mental health issues through his life, but also just what a hellcat she was. And really just really being this great subversive force, even though she was a pretty successful actress at the same time, but being very anti-capitalist, being very anti-commercial. Just kind of a weird beacon for Cobain in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Kind of like, as much as like all these punk rocks the punk rock acts were for him, so was she in a way.
Yeah, and there's a lot of parallels to what he saw going on in his life as opposed to what happened in Frances Farmer's life.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting story from another interesting song on this album. Prior to that, we heard a song that most people know from this album, I don't know how you would say it. It was a single.
It was an unconventional hit, which... you know, if people have argued if it wasn't for Cobain's passing, may not have been as successful. But the song was Rape Me, which I know definitely got a significant amount of regional radio airplay here in the Detroit-Windsor area. But
it did also, chart.
And it did chart within North America. But without a doubt, the title of the song and the subject matter really made this challenging to the point where Geffen Records was really reticent about releasing it as a single. And yet it did manage to get released to success. Again, some would argue definitely galvanized after Cobain's passing, but regardless, it's an amazing song that does touch upon rape culture, that touches upon exploitation, and again, I think acts as a type of analogy for the overwhelming feelings of sudden attention and expectation foisted upon Cobain at the time after the success of Nevermind.
Mm-hmm.
So we, of course, didn't play the studio album version because that was a pretty significant hit. Instead played a demo version of that.
Yeah, from 91, found on the With the Lights Out box set, just Cobain playing, I believe, in his house, or sometimes he would record demos in his closet. That's what we heard. Different version, different lyrics. Part of that, we heard a different version of another big single from this release, Heart-Shaped Box. We heard a live version from the Muddy Banks of the Wishka live album, which compiled different live recordings from the band's career.
And it's really interesting because at this point there had never been an official live document of Nirvana that captured them as they were in their natural sort of live setting, like the Unplugged in New York set really didn't encapsulate what Nirvana was doing at the time. But this album, I think, is a really good survey of that. That particular track was recorded at the Great Western Forum in Los Angeles, California, on December 30th, 1993. So right at the tail end of that year. And, of course, Heart-Shaped Box, there's a lot of stories about what that song
yes.
is. And infamously, it's about Courtney Love.
She gave him a heart-shaped box.
Yeah.
And when they were dating, yeah.
And, you know, people have made all these very salacious claims about what it actually was about, some hidden meaning, some Freudian version of what it could mean, including Courtney Love herself. But, you know, regardless of its origin, it's such an interesting song that intertwines these themes of love and death together mm-hmm. in a way which made this album very challenging. And I think at the time of its release, people didn't realize how dark of an album it necessarily was, and it was only the next year when Cobain took his own life that a lot of these themes really became more prescient in a way where I will admit, sometimes as much as I love this record, it's hard to listen to it and not think about what would happen to Cobain just a year later.
It's hard to separate the two, and now people have reevaluated in the recent decades, and it's kind of been given a different look, especially with all the reissues that have been coming. And it stands on its own. At the time, it standed on its own, and it still does now, even after all the unfortunate events that came after. But yeah, what a great song, great lines, great lyrics.
And, you know, the lyrics are very poetic on this release. I think Cobain, especially on Nevermind, really coalesced as a great lyricist. But here, it really showed that he was getting very literary. In fact, he was making a lot of literary comparisons and evocations, including in the song we heard before that. This one taken from the album proper in 1993, Scentless Apprentice, which has that great opening drum part.
Dave Grohl, yeah.
But beyond that, it's a song based off of the novel Perfume, which is about this misanthropic person who has this heightened level of sense, who makes these great perfumes that can basically captivate and manipulate people, but he's a misanthrope. He hates people, and it's kind of a murder horror novel.
Yes.
So Cobain really related to this and this figure who is an outlier of society. So again, having these sort of connections with these outcast figures like Francis Farmer, who was mentioned before, but in a much more interesting, twisted way on this track. And the screaming, too. We talked about how gnarly and experimental this record was compared to Nevermind. The fact that he's shredding his vocal cords at the very
yes.
end, like, is this a top 40 record?
It was. Before that, we heard the opening track, but a different version, Serve the Servants. I believe it was either this one or the other one where all the members kind of wrote it together.
Mm-hmm.
Serve the Servants. We heard the 2013 mix, which is a different version featuring different overdubs and vocal takes, etc., of the song that was found on the 20th anniversary box set. And it opens the album with the great line, Teenage Angst has paid off well now I'm bored and old, which I think a lot of people relate to if they were young when that came out and now as they're listening when they're getting older. But that's how we started off that set with side A of Nevermind, of In Utero. We're going to continue next with the song that opens side B.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to play something from the album proper as it was released in 1993, hearing the opening track from side B, Very Ape, on this 30th anniversary celebration of In Utero by Nirvana here on Revolution Rock.
When you start out first. No, we'll start out all together.
Okay, right. But not loud. Too quiet, and then we go loud.
There's a wasting tape. Right,
shh. Okay. Thank you.
You're listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area and syndicating across several different stations throughout Canada. I'm your host, Dave Constantino, joined with Adam Pelche. And we just ended off playing side B of Nirvana's In Utero, but made up of different versions of songs. This side, we actually did feature several live recordings, including that last track, and it's a really great